Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
6:34, Michael Cohen here with producer Desi Simmons. So if you've been watching television, you've seen these video images of the funeral processions of former North Korean leader Kim Jong-il. You see these people crying their eyes out. You'd think the country was mourning the death of a leader that created a better life for his people rather than one that starved them to death. To talk about what we're to make of this country, I'm joined by Dr. Dennis Hart. He's the director of the Visiting International Professionals Program. He's at MSU. He's currently writing a pair of books, including one titled Politics and Culture in North and South Korea. Dennis also lived, studied, and worked in South Korea for over 8 years. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we've seen these brutal dictators like Saddam Hussein, the strong man, although he raised himself into this position. How would you compare that to Kim Jong-il, who was born into luxury? Was he, in fact, pampered and mostly disconnected from real power?
Well, was he pampered? The answer is, of course, and probably most of us would be if we were born into the leaders of countries. That just kind of goes with positions of power. But I think the second point you bring is interesting, which is that he wasn't disconnected from power. And if I may just give a little bit of background, to understand him, you have to understand his father, who was the original leader. The father was a genuine patriot and hero who set up a new nation. And he fought against the Japanese colonial period. He fought against the invasion of the U.S. and their minds and so forth. So in that sense, one of the reasons that the son has been brought in there is its continuation, not just of a family, though that's convenient for him, but it's also a continuation of what they see as a good thing for their country. Because we look at North Korea today, and what's interesting is that most Americans, if you ask, what do you know about North Korea, there isn't a whole bunch that they know. But if you ask them how they feel about it, it's really the country we love to hate. There are very few other countries except Cuba that we seem to have a chip on our shoulder about. So To understand the sun is to kind of understand ourselves to a certain degree. We know so little, but why do we think the way we do? I don't agree with them, and there's a lot of things I dislike about what goes on in the North. But I would have to say that just because I disagree with somebody doesn't automatically mean that they're either insane or stupid. The son and the father were both very intelligent. And this goes back to Madeleine Albright's visit to the North and a lot of leaders that have met both the father and the son. The father, who was a true leader in setting up the country in the eyes of the people, he was truly beloved. They thought he was marvelous. And a thing to keep in mind is that until about 1975 or 1978, the first 25 years of the nation, they were the second highest standard of living in all of Asia, far more than South Korea. So for a lot of the people, they don't think just for today. They look back and go, gee, we are capable of achieving something. We did have a very good standard of living. So it's not all bad up there, which I guess is a good thing in a sense.
Right.
Now, for the son, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that's many years ago. Obviously, things have changed dramatically. And I can't help but wonder, when you look at a population where people are starving to death, I mean, they're sending entire families to labor camps, how have we not seen assassination attempts or any kind of organized attempt at rebellion in North Korea?
Well, that's a good question. And part of it is that they have a really good central government that's very efficient. But also very important, and this may not sound really popular, but it's probably pretty accurate, is I hate to generalize about an entire country, but by and large, those people there love their country. They, in a sense, are like Americans in that they give a damn, they care about their country, and they want it to do well. Now, the dilemma many of them are facing is their country just isn't doing well. And the question becomes, why isn't it? And this is a really difficult question. And 10 years ago, the answer would have been that they always point to the West, or they point to the Americans, or they point to some outsider, that this is the problem. The world is ganged up against us. Now you have more people beginning to question this particular script. Mm-hmm. Indeed, one of the things that was interesting is in the late 90s, there was a decision made by the North Korean government. It's not monolithic. There are all sorts of groups, and the son has to make sure that the latest son has to make sure that he picks his allies carefully, whoever they can be. But in the late 90s, what we have is a situation whereby they were walking up and talking to the South, talking to Japan, and even talking to the Americans. In a sense, the progressives, as we would call them, were having their say and their day. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can be a little bit more like China. Maybe we can loosen up some of the controls we have and enter more of a market economy. Well, what happened then is when the Bush regime came into America, one of the first things they did was point nuclear weapons to the North, label them the axis of evil, and consider them an enemy. Mm-hmm. What this did was reinforce the conservatives or the very hardliners in the North and say, we told you, you couldn't deal with the West. You can't deal with them. So it's not like it's all monolithic all the time and that nobody sees that an alternative may be better, or at least reform in what they have. But the key is that a lot of the North Korean people, even today, don't blame the government per se. They see it as a series of bad circumstances. For example, in the late 90s, it was the worst conceivable weather, droughts and floods year after year. And if the U.S. entire agriculture had been suffering droughts and floods for 5 to 8 years, our economy would certainly be in very bad condition. Mm-hmm. So many of the people began to escape, as we like to say, to China. We read all about the families sort of fleeing across the rivers and so forth. But what's interesting, and it is true, many of them go, is that the number one job over there for the majority is, of course, to send money back to their families, back to North Korea. And for quite a few of them, once they get enough money saved up, they return home. In a sense that we like to look at them as political refugees. They want to be like us. They want to be have our freedom and so forth. Actually, the majority, while there are those that do escape for political reasons, there's no doubt, the majority of those escaping do so as food refugees. That is, there is a crisis in their country. They're trying to resolve it by just voting with their feet, moving out temporarily or sometimes permanently to do so.
Then they come back. Now, Dr. Hart, we just have a few minutes, so I want to direct another question here. I am talking to Dr. Dennis Hart. He's the director of the MSU Visiting International Professionals Program, because what I want to talk about is the way they use communication, and I know that's a major tool of control in North Korea. So tell me, just how restrictive is the ability of a North Korean to hear and see anything from the world around them, and do they have any idea of the prosperity that's right next door to them?
Real simply put, they're very good at controlling information in the government. I mean, they are experts at that. You may not like it, but you got to give them credit for competency, I suppose. Most North Koreans they're not really aware of the prosperity that's taking place in the South, though many of them suspected, and some TV stations do get through. It's never complete. Further, I was just there a few weeks ago, and my last night there, I was talking with some people who work for an NGO, a non-governmental organization, and they were just about to leave to go to Pyongyang to deliver about 50,000 tons of food. So there is communications. It's not as monolithic and as totally trapped as we may think. We just don't hear about these organizations going back and forth.
No, but most North Koreans do not know, right? They are unaware that they're living in abject poverty.
Oh, they know they're in poverty. You can't fool people when they're hungry. They can certainly detect that. That's not a problem. But then again, it's how they cope with it, how they legitimize it, how they excuse it, as it were, in that in their minds, what they're really seeing is not the failure of their system. There are problems, to be sure, but the system just needs to be run better.
I see.
As a really crude analogy, I don't want to say this is the same, but as a crude analogy, I listen to a lot of Americans, and very few of them, when they vote, would say, this entire system that we have in this country needs to be torn apart and thrown out. Rather, the rascals that are in need to be removed. Or, if they could just do it better, then the system would be able to run well. Hmm. So I think it's a combination of factors, but that would be part of it.
Just a couple of minutes left. So I want to ask you about South Koreans and what they think. Because, in general, do they really want to see North Korea, the leadership, they're toppled? And are they concerned about the effect it would have on their own country and this potential integration, if that were to even be considered?
that's a really good question. And it would depend on whom you're speaking with. If there are certain factions that just want to see the North suffer, there are certain factions that see them as cousins, naughty cousins who are rather poor, but nonetheless, they're part of the family. So therefore, as the people that I met a few weeks ago, they were helping to expedite food to North Korea so that, you know, more and more people could eat up there, which is a good thing. As far as unification, I am of the belief that it will happen. Virtually everybody in the South believes it will happen. How it happens and when is a tough question. It probably will not be similar to Germany, but it most certainly there'll be a sense of responsibility among most Southerners to take care of their brethren, their cousins, and their relatives in the North.
10 years from now, do you think North Korea will still exist as it is now? And what do you think will finally trigger the collapse of this repressive government?
Well, that was exactly the question asked after the grandfather of the present leader, the first Kim, died. Everybody predicted either one, nuclear attack, two, crazy people invading, or three, the collapse of the regime. One thing I've learned about North Korea is that we know next to nothing. We're not even sure where this young kid that's in charge went to school, what his background is, and the predictions about the collapse of the North were they were popular in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the last decade. North Korea, I believe, will continue. If it didn't collapse after these latest famines, they're most certainly not going to collapse in the near future. Now, what's going to happen to them is the interesting question. I am hopeful that the progressives who once were pushing to the fore about a decade ago, that type of thought will again take root, and that their attempts to become a little more international, a little more global, a little more open, mm-hmm. won't be met with threats or with intimidation from other countries.
Well, certainly.
So they're reasonable people, but they certainly will demand that people understand them on their own terms.
It will be a shock to these 24 million people once if that does happen and they get to experience, I guess, a different kind of a life. Dr. Dennis Hart, the director of the MSU Visiting International Professionals Program, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much for helping people understand North Korea just a bit better.
Yep.
Good service.
Interesting stuff.